conflict of rods, reels, line, and fish. You're about to enter the fishing zone. What do you think, Robert?
Sounds like a good idea. Good way to get things started. Now, it's finally broken the weather, so we've got a few reports.
You finally have the weather broken?
No, we finally have a break in the weather, I guess I should say.
Okay. I was just wondering where you were brokening it.
I'm dyslexic today. My brain's, like, not totally functioning.
It's like on Josh's show this morning. I had no idea what I was going to talk about. I walked outside and saw all the fog. I was like, boy, the river was foggy this morning.
Right. It was pretty foggy leaving to go to do the show. It was kind of surprising. Burned off quick, though. At least on this end. I'd be curious to know if there's a bunch of sea fog out there.
I was up at Murdoch Tire. They said, are you going to be on the show this weekend? You haven't been on the last couple of weeks. And I forget where else. But I've stopped at like four places. The Ace Hardware downtown in Punta Gorda.
Yeah.
I was there getting some stuff. Are you going to be on the show this next weekend? I didn't hear last, you know. I'm okay.
You missed one day.
Well, I missed two.
Did you miss two?
Mm-hmm. Missed 2 weeks.
Thought it was just last weekend you missed.
Nope.
Huh. Okay. It all blends into me.
Yeah. I mean, we do 2 FM radio shows, the podcast, different fishing reports, seminars. We had a great time. Penn was here, Pure Fishing, for the last group of seminars we had last Wednesday. And it was awesome. We were full every seminar, and people really seemed to have a pretty good time. But it's kind of funny because most people are not used to doing the seminar and then having to do it again and having to do it again. And by the end one, he couldn't remember if he had said it a minute ago or in the last seminar, the one before. He was getting lost.
Right.
And it's kind of funny because, you know, you and I are so used to doing just about anything at any moment, you know.
Right.
And you get these other people in who, you know, they're good speakers and all that, but they don't. They're not. I don't know.
They got to be more structured.
Yeah, you know, they're used to doing one, and okay, I'm going on, going to the next thing, and you and I might have to do the same thing over and over and over again.
Right. So, yeah, it still works out.
Oh, it was fun.
And a lot of people were happy with it.
Yeah, everybody seemed to enjoy him. He was telling some great stories, and you learned a little bit about fishing. Got to hear some cool stories, and that was awesome. I've never heard Tim. Tim Johnson's the speaker this next week.
Oh, that'll be cool.
I've never heard Tim as a speaker.
Neither have I.
And I've heard Austin, and Austin is excellent. Yeah. Austin's a great speaker. I'm really curious to find out what this one's going to be like. This Wednesday, Reaper Rod is sponsoring the seminar day. And all that means is you're going to hear about fishing with them. I know it's redfish, and I know there's black drum. I'm not sure what other species or whatever they're going to go over on how to catch, but then you get deals and discounts and whatever. Who's ever sponsoring the day throws a little goodies. It's kind of like a mini tent sale day every Wednesday, so to speak.
Nice.
So instead of being everything in one day, it's just kind of stretched out where, you know, next year we'll try and put it all in the same package. Up in the Peace River.
They're doing okay up there. I've had a few mixed reports. The snook have been doing a little bit better above Lettuce Lake and 761 bridge. Haven't heard as many down on this end, just a handful over by Shell Creek, and a lot of juvenile tarpon right there by the Sanssouci Trestle. And then they have been getting a few trout right there between basically Harbor Heights and the Navigator. But they're fishing them deep and working it slow, so find some of those deeper little potholes or troughs, whatever you want to call it, the bends in the river, and stay real slow with the paddle tails on those trout especially, or shrimp on a jig head and just lightly bounce it along. A few rat reds, a few small mangrove snappers scattered here and there, but that's kind of about it up there. Guess it's been beautiful though with the bird watching. So a couple guys said even though it was slow, we were having a good time watching all the other activities going on. That's the coolest part about up there.
Yeah, I gotta go over and see Dr. Dave and see if he wants to take a ride up the river. Because if you do it in the afternoon right now, you're gonna see a lot of big gators. You'll see birds, you know, getting into the nesting thing.
Yeah.
It's a little early for the nesting thing by next month, though.
Right.
March, April, they really start nesting up big.
Right. It's pretty awesome up there. You with the tour, you as the tour guide up there, always makes it fun.
Yes. And as we round the corner, be careful. Look over to the right. There's quite often a large alligator sitting up on that sandbar, and you're going to be about 4 feet from him when we come around that corner.
Right.
Yep. You know, I did that several times, and before I ever took the first person up there, and because you're traveling 20-some miles of river, and you're never on the same water twice, really.
Right.
So we go up through the main bodies of the river, then we come down through all the creeks and cuts and channels and all that stuff. You know, you get mapped out in your head because the GPS works, but it's not real reliable because it's giving you a basic idea. But if you try following a GPS through that stuff, you're going to get in problem. You got to memorize it.
Absolutely.
So I-75.
I've only gotten a couple of reports of some black drum there. That's it. And they weren't big ones. They were like 10-pounders. It's been pretty quiet up there, unfortunately.
Well, there's been some redfish on the north end.
Has there been?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I didn't get any reports of those this week, so that's a good thing. That's why there's two of us. It makes it a lot easier. Two separate ears.
Yep. Almost four. You got two, and I've got...
One and a quarter.
Three quarters of one. If you had to bolt them together, I got almost three quarters of an ear.
There you go.
I was guys sitting at the counter, and they step back. They're like a couple feet back, and then they're soft talkers.
Yeah.
And they start laughing, so I laugh. I have not a clue what they said.
You know, his lips are moving, and that's it.
Yeah.
Yep.
I can't make out much of anything. All right, 41 Bridge.
41 Bridge has been picking up a little bit. There's been some more trout being caught there the last several days. A lot of small peanut snook, especially in the afternoons in the last 2 days. And a couple of small redfish and some mangrove snapper. No black drum. A couple guys have heard them, but not heard of anyone catching any. So that's kind of a plus, but... Trying the shrimp. A lot of guys are having a hard time finding blue crabs of any size. They don't like the little ones that we've got. They want those bigger ones. But it's worth a try. I know they'll still eat those little guys.
Well, I think if you were to take the top shell off and, you know, leave the meat there and then dump a couple globs of Procure crab on both, you know, on the points, I think that'd make a difference. A lot of times, if you've got a pretty good current there, those drum are so into the smell of stuff,
right,
that they're not really, you know, if it's not a larger object, they're really not going to get the whiff of it, although they should, but they just don't.
Right.
So just give them a little more glop. It's like I try and tell people, get a 4-aught, 5-aught hook and slam 4 or 5 pieces or 6 pieces of frozen shrimp on there.
Right.
With the black drum, it's not like most of the fish, you don't really need or even want that much shrimp on a hook. But with a black drum, they seem to like a mouthful of bait.
Right.
I think it's maybe because of the crusher plates they have in the back of their throat.
Right.
They, you know, when you see a black drum, you see their lips and then the jaws, and they've got some form of teeth there, and the tongue, and then right behind that, there's these big things that literally crush stuff before they swallow it. So they can chew it, and then before they swallow it, they actually grind it, crush it again, and then they can come back up and re-chew or whatever, but it's kind of a weird process.
Yeah.
But I think that might be, you know, they can actually maybe get it through the crusher better.
Makes sense.
I mean, I'm not sure, but...
No, it definitely makes sense.
It was like this morning, Josh, I was telling him that some of those dimpled bottom over on the east side where we do a lot of redfish fishing could have been bomb craters. He said, well, they would have rode it in. I said, well, a bomb crater there in that shallow water would have probably been 3 to 6 foot deep.
Right.
And in the last 100 years, since the 1940s, it did silt in. That's why they're only 4 to 8 inches or 10 inches deep.
Right.
I mean, I think that makes sense.
Absolutely. I mean, it was a military base in Punta Gorda at one point.
It was an Army Air Corps base. That was the difference. And wow. They did strafing runs with the machine guns. They were practicing dropping torpedoes on stuff. They were practicing dropping bombs. And they had all of Charlotte Harbor, because there wasn't many people out there at all. They could go out and drop bombs in the harbor and, right. You know, not hurt anybody.
Well, back then, they didn't worry about it as much.
They still don't. They bomb on those islands up there in the Carolinas and stuff. And there's bombing things when you drive up northern part of state. There's woods out there just blasted all full of holes. Because
yeah, but they got a lot of signs there.
Yeah, but it's signs.
100 years ago, there wasn't even a sign.
No, they just looked around and said, I don't see anybody.
Yeah, it looks clear.
How many years ago was World War II? It's like 80 or something like that? A long time ago. 1942,
41,
42,
43. Something like that.
All right, Lashley Pier.
Lashley's got some small snook in the evenings, but they've also been picking up a couple of sheep's head, mangrove snapper, and trout. But it's all been an afternoon feed or early evening. The early mornings and midday have been kind of slow. A couple of guys going out there in the afternoon said it's been picking up a little bit better for them. The one guy got a 14.5-inch sheep's head and a couple other ones that were in that 13-inch range. So that's always a little promising to hear of some more sheep's head moving around. It's been so slow up here on this end of the harbor for those guys. It's always good to get that positive report.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
I don't have to go all the way out to the ICW. All right, Bayshore Pier?
Yeah, 0, unfortunately.
Yeah. I remember a few years ago, you'd get to Bayshore, okay, you got this, you got that, you got this, you got that. Right. It was just, you know, a hub of fishing activity, and kind of surprising. We're in the Port Charlotte Canal Systems.
Port Charlotte Canal Systems, especially the ones over... You know,
I got Chuck's Custom Carpentry up on here in my pirate ship. I'm going to have to take a picture of the seminar area.
Yeah.
Put that on there.
You know what I did? I tried to take pictures of the seminar the other day, and I must have hit something wrong because nothing. I didn't get a single picture, so I don't know what
it's
I
a
did.
Hard place to get pictures of because no. It's mean, just so long, it's narrow, the seats and the
it didn't take the picture at all, though.
Huh.
I don't know what I did wrong. One, I actually hit like a video, so there was like a 2-second video clip. But the rest of them just didn't turn, nothing. There was nothing there. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. So
don't worry. I can see and I can't work the camera. So, all right. Port Charlotte Canal. Sorry about that.
It's all right. From the beach complex over towards the Ackerman and Manchester Waterway. Been some snook in the afternoons. Some guys trolling through there catching some nice sized jacks. There was some reports of some trout right there in the basin, right there around the beach complex. Most of them were a little smaller, but there was some bigger keeper size. And then going up into East Spring Lake, there's been some more black drum kind of hopping around, a few small sheep's head. What did he tell me? Yeah, that's redfish, little redfish.
All right. Okay, so Port Charlotte Canal System, and back over here to the fishing report. And you were talking about redfish, black drum. Oh, wait a minute. No, that's the wrong one. I don't know why I got so far. Okay, Alligator Bay has jack, snook, trout, and up in Spring Lake, black drum and sheephead.
And there's been a couple of small redfish being caught up inside there, which is always nice for our brood stock to see those, you know, 14 to 20 inches swimming around right now. It's always good to have some feedback on that, because it's been a while since we've had any feedback on small redfish up in the canals, let alone anywhere else. So it's kind of that positive thing. It's pretty good to see.
Okay. Now we're going around to El Jobin Pier.
Got a few better reports in the yesterday, actually. Sheep's head started to pick up just a little bit there. Some 15, 16-inch sheep's head. Mangrove snapper bite has been okay, but they're really small. Along with the trout started to pick back up just a little tiny bit. Not great consistency, but better than what it has been. And then the more small redfish, and there was a couple guys catching some juvenile Goliath grouper / Jew fish. And the one guy got one that was about, it was probably about a 20 pounder. And everyone out there was trying to tell him it was a legal gag grouper. And I'm like, well, gag grouper are closed anyway. You need to let him go. But it's, you know, he did the right thing. He let it go because he was convinced it was a Goliath grouper. But it was just kind of funny because there's three or four guys telling him, no, that's fine. You can keep those. He's like, no.
Yeah,
I'm new here, but I've been studying a little bit and that doesn't look right. Which was really cool, but he had a nice little picture of it.
Yeah, and the chance of getting a gag grouper there are 1 in 1,000.
Yeah.
Where the chances of getting a Goliath grouper there are 50-50.
Yeah.
I mean, there's oftentimes, I would say the biggest one I've ever seen come from there is about 120, 125.
Yeah.
There's some nice size ones.
A couple big ones that show up there sporadically.
Yeah, 60 to 80 pounders break people off, and that was a big snook or whatever, but it was a lot of times those big Goliath grouper, the big tarpon snook stories there, a lot of times are Goliath grouper stories that just don't know it.
Yeah.
And because you get an 80 or 100 pound Goliath grouper making a lunge, when that big old Jewfish goes up and makes a left turn around a piling, there's nothing you're going to do about it.
No, it's a train wreck. You're going to lose almost every time. It's kind of funny how that works.
So anything in the cutoff or the tippy or the river?
It's been so shallow this week that nobody's really been able to get up into the cutoff, unfortunately. Yeah.
Okay, and that's going to take us down to South Gulf Cove.
Actually, a couple of guys been bass fishing back in there and did pretty good this past week, especially right after that rain on Sunday. They got some bass up to 4 and 5 pounds, all using shiners. A couple of guys were using minnows trying to fish for crappie and bluegill and ended up catching bass also. And then a couple tilapia and Mayan cichlids in addition to that. But other than that, no saltwater species that I've heard of this past week up there. But that rain seemed to liven it up for the bass.
Oh, yeah, the rain was really good for as far as our freshwater areas go.
Absolutely.
And the west side of the harbor?
West side of the harbor's been real quiet, but I'm starting to get some reports of the small snook and a few big snook. But it's in the middle of the day, and they're sitting out 5 to 20 feet from the bushes. And then same way with some of the redfish that are being caught over there. Got nothing as far as trout or any other critter goes. It's just a little hodgepodge. The water has cleared up a lot, though. Guys are actually able to see those snooks sitting out there and some of the redfish moving around. So that makes it just a little easier, except for when they're running their boat too close to the mangroves and realize they just ran over all the snook because they were sitting out in the sun.
Yeah. What works one February does not always work the next February.
Not at all.
It's, you know, just because it's February doesn't mean it's February. Because we can have a February where every day is 75, 80 degrees. And then we can have a February where it literally goes down to 30 degrees.
Right.
And you just never know. Each year is its own little discovery. And don't look at the calendar so much as look at the amount of sweaters you have on.
Yes. Layers.
Yeah, if you're out there in a t-shirt, the fish are going to be up underneath the trees in the shade. If you're out there in a shirt and then a jacket, those trees are going to be, or those fish are going to be laying out in the sun.
Yeah.
It's literally that simple, guys. If you've got a jacket on to get out there, go look in the sun. If you're sitting out there and you've only got, you know, a little t-shirt on, and then go look in the shade.
Yes.
So Cape Hayes, Muddy Bay.
Muddy Bay is the only report I got there. Snook, redfish, some trout, some mangrove snapper, and even a few sheep's head up underneath the mangroves. And then the snook, there's been a couple better snooks sitting right at the entrance, just as you go inside and just on the outside. know, they've been real lethargic, but it's been afternoon, evening. A couple guys have been doing well down there, and it's all on shrimp. Shrimp's the definite answer down there.
Okay. Yeah, both of us are sniffling. Wonder what's up with that.
Drier air finally. Warming up.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, Bull Bay, Turtle Bay.
A lot of trout in there. Getting some much better reports on trout this last couple days.
Which one would you say is better?
Honestly, I'd say Bull Bay is a little bit better. You know, but they're drifting soft plastics, working them real close to the bottom, or shrimp just free lining them or on a jig head and working them as slow as they possibly can stand. And they're catching them in 2 feet of water to 4 feet of water if you can find some of those deeper sand holes. The back edge along that trough there going towards Bull Bay from Turtle, and then also right there around Gallagher's Cut. That deeper little cutoff there has been producing some trout. And guys are seeing some snook and redfish, but I haven't heard of too many being caught up inside there. I'm sure they were catching them. They just failed to mention that. They were more excited about finally catching a few trout. And it's all been on just the shad tails, paddle tails. It's been the key thing back in there, or the shrimp. Guy saw one little bonnet head cruise by, and he said it almost looked like it was dead. It was just so subtly gliding along. He said it was kind of elegant but weird at the same time, because he's not used to seeing him move that slow. But he also had 61 water temperature, so it's kind of chilly.
Yeah, it's just weird because that DOA cow shed should not be working as good as some of the other ones, but it really is.
Yeah,
it really is doing well. Cape Hayes Danger Reef.
There was a couple pompano on it. Guy got a couple pompano. One looked like a permit. It was hard to tell in his picture. And then there's been a couple bite offs, and he had one fish up to the side of the boat. Said it looked like a bluefish, but it pulled the hook right next to the boat, so he wasn't 100% sure. Other than that, nothing else. Pretty quiet there. I would think the sheep's head would start moving on it if they're starting to move up here a little bit, but nothing.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Well, maybe nobody's bottom fishing there.
Right.
All right, Gasparilla Sound.
That's doing all really good. The whole backside of Boca Grande, Whidden Bay. Sheep's head are still number one fish of choice, both up on the flats and around the docks, oyster bars, mangroves, doesn't matter. Just their sheep's head is scattered all over the place. Trout are scattered all over in there. Most of them are a little bit smaller, but there's a few guys picking up some bigger ones, and then they're seeing a lot of snook. Any redfish they're finding are all up under the docks mostly. I haven't heard of too many redfish of any significance up under the bushes or oyster bars. It's all been dock fishing. Had a couple reports of some flounder, but they were all small. But they were at least getting into them. And they're all catching them on shrimp. Most of them are using shrimp on a jig head or a split shot. They're working them super slow or just dead sticking them, letting it sit there and let the scent and the fish or the shrimp wiggle and do its work.
For the redfish?
All of it.
For all of
the
it?
The trout, everything. And the sheep's head, they're just pitching out there and just letting it sit. Very, very little action on it. It's kind of weird.
Okay. It's hard to believe I was actually typing most then. I didn't have a lot of red lines on it. All right, Placida Pier.
The only thing I've got off there is sheep's head. Sheep's head, both from the pier guys and the boaters, fishing all along there and just catching sheep's head of assorted sizes.
Okay, Lemon Bay.
A little bit of reports on trout finally up in there. Just drifting, working a shrimp really slow at the outside edges of the docks, a little deeper water. 3 to 5 feet of water seems to be the better preference up there. A couple guys are catching them also on the paddle tails. But working it real, real slow. Everyone I talked to in the last couple days, because that's been the most best reports because the weather finally getting better. The slow, and even slower. More than I can stand. I work things too fast. That's why I can't catch anything on like that DOA shrimp. It's worked so incredible, but I have such a hard time reeling as slow as I can. When it comes to those shad tails, I almost feel like I'm not getting any action out of it when I'm just hopping it super slow. But, you know, Blake was the master of that thing, and I'd watch him and try to emulate it, and I just couldn't ever do it right.
Well, that's one thing. I think that playing bass as a fill-in for the union, I was a union bass player, and I belonged to the, you know, the musicians union and all that kind of stuff, and I get a lot of calls to go fill in with different bands, and I mean literally anything, polka, country, 50s rock, punk rock, heavy metal. You know, I never knew what I was going to be playing when I showed up, but having to learn to be able to follow guys I'd never met or seen before and try and make it come out right, emulating what, you know, they're doing, watching, listening, and doing all that, and be able to make it work. I think that helped me. And I never thought about it in all these years until this second. But I think that was a big help, because I was able to emulate Blake on working that jig. I was able to do what Andy Medina did with a bait cast rod. I was able to do so much of the stuff that these guys were really, really good. And I mean, it goes back to my dad and Bill Johnson and Norm and, you know, all these guys that I've learned so much of the stuff from over the years. Being able to see what they're doing, get the cadence down, being able to do that. And I think that might have helped a lot on making me, you know, when I, especially when I was charting, made me so much of a better captain by being able to take the best of this guy and the best of that guy and the best of this and the best of that and blend them into what I did.
That's pretty impressive. That makes a lot of sense.
I never thought about how or why I was able to do what I did, and I think a lot of it came from that music background.
It makes sense. I mean, there's no question about it.
It wasn't like I was only playing with one band. I was doing, you know, 3 days with this guy and then a day with that one, and then, you know,
right,
taking fill-in work wherever I can get it. It was the 70s, and money was really hard to get for, you know, that last few years of the 70s. It was tough. That's why I came to Florida. The whole up there and up north, everybody was shutting down. Towns were closing down. It was the end of the automotive industry. You know, they didn't think anything was going to go again. So I came down here to tie steel on I-75. So, anyway, Englewood Pier, the Tom Adams Bridge. Is there possibly fish there? We won't know. Stay tuned. Same fish time, same fish channel.
As long as I can quit choking, right? The Tom Adams Bridge, that's the trout that we talked about the other day, right on the bottom, fishing up close to those pilings where the guys are sheep's head fishing. You know, they're catching sheep's head, but in, you know, some pretty good trout by accident, all on the pilings and the bumpers. And then off the Tom, or off the Anger Pier itself, they're getting a few sheep's head, an occasional trout, an occasional whiting. But those guys catching those trout next to the pilings of the main bridge is what impressed me the other day, when they're set up for sheep's head and just fishing it right literally on the bottom as close to the pilings as possible, and that's what they were doing the best on. And they're catching them on just small shrimp, because they weren't using big shrimp at all, because the intended targeted species was, of course, sheep's head. They're not gonna spend the money on the big shrimp for that, which I don't blame them. Especially as good a thieves as sheep's head are with me.
Oh, yeah. So, Venice jetties?
I got nothing up there. Yeah. Okay. It's been a weird, quiet place the last 2-3 weeks.
The Gulf of Mexico.
Honestly, the only reports I've got were a couple guys that went out yesterday. And one guy was in this morning. The snapper, porgies, sheep's head. 10 to 15 miles are best. Lane snapper seemed to pick up better at the 15 mile mark, but inside of that it was mostly smaller mangs with some smaller lanes. But still the sheep's head. One guy got a flounder, a couple short red grouper, but the bigger red grouper, the one guy got into those at 90 feet of water, and he was just drifting blindly over areas trying to find some new spots. They caught 2 legal red grouper out of the 4 of them. But a lot of lane snapper and a couple of beeliners, vermilion snapper. They didn't see any surface activity at all. They had one flat line out and never got a hit on it. But couple other guys said that they were getting into some, seeing some cobia out there, but I haven't heard of anyone catching any in the last week or better.
Okay. And it's going to take us... Little Gasparilla Pass?
I got nothing in Little Gasparilla Pass except for Boca. The docks. Boca, the guys that are beach fishing right there, been catching sheep's head, an occasional whiting. Guy caught a skate, not a stingray, but an actual skate. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, you don't hear that anymore. It's kind of like the guitar fish.
Right.
And what was that other one, the weird one? That. I can look on here and find it. I think that's under fish ID. I'll look it up. I can't remember the name of it. But we used to catch them, and for a couple years there was tons of them. And then they just quit, and they give you the electric shock when you grab them.
Oh, the sun gazer.
Stargazer? Hang on, I'm getting down there.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Starts with an S. Okay, yeah. I'm into the L's, lizard fish, mackerels. I did a thing on those.
Plenty of lizard fish out there.
Lizard fish?
Yeah.
We're going to have to try and see if those are edible.
Ask Josh. He's probably tried it.
Really?
He's tried everything.
Because that... Boy, I got... Stargazer. Yeah, because the Stargazer is the one that gives you an electric shock if you grab it by the head.
Yeah, I have honestly not seen one.
Yeah, but the skates, the Stargazers...
Guitar fish,
all that. They just don't know what happened to them.
Yeah, it's weird. Well, it's kind of like black sea bass. Why do they seem to go in spurts? You know, I think it was last week
spurts?
Or...
Spurts? You mean mountains and valleys, because... years will go by.
Right.
We don't hear about them. And then we hear about it for a few weeks, and then you don't hear about it again.
Right. It was just a couple weeks ago I had a couple reports on them. I think we talked about it, and that was like, wow, that was pretty interesting.
So, all right. Anyway, let's see. Captiva?
Captiva's about the same way as Boca. Mostly sheep's head, an occasional whiting, a couple mangrove snapper, and that's about it. Unfortunately, not anything gangbuster, but decent. I'm real curious to see how it works out after this weekend with a lot of different fishing reports.
Redfish?
Got nothing.
Okay. All right. Walking the beaches, any place besides Boca?
Stump Pass. You know, right up there, that whole beach system from the parking lot all the way down to Stump Pass. A couple pompano, some lizard fish. On the inside, on the intercoastal side of that, some sheep's head, a couple small black drum, more lizard fish, and then down towards the pass, kind of the same thing. A few sheep's head, a few small black drum, a couple of whiting, and lots of lizard fish. That seems to be like the hot fish out there. Woman said her kids were having a field day because they caught 10, 12 of them. They were just infatuated by these little things that had a lot of little tiny teeth but really weren't hurting them. I know snook eat them. I know grouper eat them. But we'll have to ask Josh and see if he's ever tried eating one.
I know they make great grouper bait.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of fish from grouper to king mackerel, all those that really like those.
Yeah.
Oop, I screwed that up. Okay, we're going to have to take a second. We're going to go back up.
Why is it that king mackerel like them when they're such a bottom-dwelling fish for the most part? It's kind of like guys over in the Bahamas and some of the other islands, the Caribbean islands, one of their favorite baits of choice for marlin used to be bonefish.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, you know, it's kind of puzzling to me. You know, you got a fish that's almost exclusively associated with the flats and definitely a bottom feeder, and yet marlin really like them.
Well, I wonder if marlin ever come like cruising the edges of the flats and stuff like that, or if it's just the color and shape.
I think it's got to be more color and shape. I mean, I've heard of some of the juvenile marlin working the flats over in the Pacific, like the Western Pacific, but not of any consistency around here.
Yeah, but I wonder what 300 years ago or 800 years ago or 1,000 years ago, if that was commonplace before people, because once everybody started going there, well, that's a lot of meat.
Right.
You know, 3-4 foot marlin, not a big one, but, or 2 foot, not a big one, but a dang good meal.
Yeah. No, I could see that.
And if you were on a sailing vessel, you chances are you had a little harpoon and, you know.
Right.
Because all those islands were just covered up with boats, sailors, and all that other stuff for, you know, since, what, the 1400s.
Yeah. No, that would make sense.
Yeah, that's my problem. I'm always wondering, you know, what was going on, not just yesterday or the last week or the last 20 years. Somebody was asking me about the Indians, and I said, well, you know, the bathroom thing with the Indians, especially the Plains tribes and the, you know, like the Cheyenne and Sioux and all them, they had summer camp, winter camps, fall camp, spring camp, and they would pack up and move all the time.
Right.
And most of that was a bathroom issue. Because if you've got 30 to 60 people in the tribe and they're out once or twice a day digging a hole,
right,
that can get to be pretty nasty in that area after not that long a time.
Absolutely.
And you pack everything up, you move to the next one, you come back a year later, well, it's pretty much, you know, been wind and weathered out, you know.
Right.
But yeah, some pretty nasty.
Well, I mean, can imagine. That's stuff you don't think about.
With no septic tanks, no plumbing, no way to, you know, keep everything, you know, under control. Yeah, the bathroom issues were a big thing all throughout history. When armies moved across, they were made a mess of stuff. Figure 5,000 guys all walking in one direction. They're only walking 10, 20 miles a day.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it gets to be a bit, oh, God, didn't think about that.
Yeah, so, that's pretty wild stuff you don't think about.
You know, it's like people say, well, you know, if I lived here years ago, see, if you lived here years ago, there's no bridge to get across the Peace River, the Myakka River, all the little creeks and streams where they cut the canals in. You'd be lucky in this part of Florida from land, you know, walking like north, south, east, or west to make 10 miles a day.
Oh, yeah.
If you made 10 miles a day with the way the terrain is, you did really well.
Really well.
That's why canoes and all these boats were such a big thing, because it was way easier than walking in the on land.
Oh yeah.
So a lot less bugs. So Punarasa, Sanibel.
Honestly, I have nothing from down there this week.
Snook, ladyfish, some small trout, and many reports of big snook and redfish hitting cut bait, as well as live pinfish, sea trout. Yeah, that's been going around a lot of the piers. Some, a lot of sheephead down there, too. It actually sounds like fishing picked up down there.
There you go.
So, let's see. So
that's a good thing. It's nice to hear that.
That was from our North Fort Myers store. Estero Bay has sheephead, redfish, and snook doing pretty good. But you have to have moving water in Estero Bay for that. Say the guys from Fort Myers. I got nothing on the Coosahatchee, you?
No, nothing at all, unfortunately.
Okay. And Cape Coral in the freshwater canals, bass are doing good, and the feeder canals, kind of like where the water's running down towards the larger canals. Small lakes in Lee County have all picked up with the cooler weather. Soft plastics are doing well, lizards, horny toads. So you've got some pretty good bass fishing down there in Cape Coral. You got anything for saltwater?
No, not at all.
Okay, Matt Lachey. Now, according to the Fort Myers store, Matt Lachey has a, let's see, I got to move this line. It would be easier to just take that out. Oh, God. Some of this stuff should be so simple, and then it's not.
Of course not. Nothing is easy like that.
No. Okay. So, anyway, in Matt Lachey, from the bridge, a lot of snook, mangrove snappers, according to Vinny down there in the Fort Myers store.
Yeah, sheep's head is what I've been getting the most reports on down there. You know, been a few snook being caught in the evenings and around the adjoining canals and docks and stuff, but mostly it's all about the sheep's head right there. I've not heard much for trout or redfish. You know, and our shrimp lady, who always gives me some really good reports, they've kind of been...
Yeah, her father passed away, so...
Yeah, so I haven't gotten too many reports from her.
Yeah, that's been one of the tough parts about this job. You know, you've got to be a business person. You've got to keep, you know, bait in the store and keep the business going. And then you have somebody, you know, who loses a loved one in this. And that makes it really hard because you've still got to, you know, we've got people coming in, they want to get bait, they want to go fishing, they want to relax, and you know, and it's a tougher part of this job that people wouldn't think about, but there's a 100 details and 100 things go on daily, weekly, that I would have just never considered as a shop owner, because it's not like, okay, I'm getting all my stuff from a warehouse or a supplier. We've got boats going out trying to catch wild caught bait. We've got suppliers we get a deal from. We got people, you know. There's a lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff you don't even think about. You just take it for granted every day.
Yeah, okay, I want to go get some shrimp. Okay, I went down and got some shrimp. But there's us and trucks and boats and people and their lives and their equipment and troubles
weather.
And weather and Pine Island Sound, what's going on down there? According to the Fort Myers snore, snook are piling up along with ladyfish, some trout, redfish, and mangrove snappers, say the guy in the North Fort Myers store at the Ingman Marine Boat Dealership. Okay.
I've heard a little bit about the ladyfish, but I've heard more about trout activity down there. You know, deeper water. You know, finding some of those 4 foot, 6 foot, even 10 feet of water, drifting it with a shrimp on a jig head and just bouncing it along has been the most productive thing going on down there. I've heard of a couple of snook, a couple of redfish, but trout have been the main focus down there without a doubt. And it's everywhere from Captiva Rocks all the way up to basically Yuseppa area. Not too bad. It's just beautiful water, though. The guy took your advice with the Lewis and Clark thing and went out there and wanted to learn it, so he picked a lower tide day and was checking it all out, but had to fish while he was doing it, so that was my one good report, was him.
Yeah, it's funny, guys. They come in, and it's like, instant pill.
Yeah.
You know, tell me so I'll know everything. And I'm like, you know... The bad news about that is it doesn't work.
Right.
The good news about that is it doesn't work.
Right.
You get to go down, look around. Do you tell them go out on that windy northeast wind day? Because that's when the water's the lowest, with the northeast winds. East, northeast, northeast, whatever. But you want north and east in it, because that's where it's really blowing all the water towards the passes. Makes it really hard for the incoming tide to come in. And then you take a pair of binoculars with you, and you stay outside that bar, because half time there's just no water behind the bar.
Right.
And you look, and you see these. If you see a puddle of water, that's a pothole.
Right.
You can tell. Look at all the grass and all the sand there, and then all of a sudden there's a puddle of water. That puddle of water is a pothole. That's a place where fish are going to be, because if you're a fish and you're 5 inches tall, and you're in a 6-inch deep pothole, you're covered.
Yeah.
You know, they think, oh, it's only 4 to 6 inches deeper than the rest of the area. But if you're only 4 or 5 inches tall and you can get down the hole that's 4 or 5 inches deep, then any fish looking across that flat, say a dolphin, a cobia, you know, any predator coming in there, they're going to look across, they're not going to see you.
Right.
It's a great hiding spot.
Yeah. You know? Another thing is, look at some of the shorebirds that'll be standing around there. You know, if the seagull's swimming, over a little spot. Chances are, you know, it's a little deeper. If he's just standing there stationary and you can see his belly just above the water, you know he's on dry ground.
Right. If you're looking at birds, it's a great idea to at least have a basic understanding of bird anatomy.
Anatomy.
Okay. And it all has to do with how long of legs does that bird have?
Yeah.
Is it a little bird with 6-8-inch legs on it? Or is it a little bird with 2-inch legs on it? If you know that and he's standing up, you get a good idea of what that water's like. And if he's swimming, and usually swimming birds have very short legs, wading birds have very long legs.
Right.
So if it's a heron, a stork, whatever, you can pretty much figure he's got longer legs. But if it's a seagull, a tern, something like that, the legs are 3-4 inches long.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, okay. So anyway, Jug Creek Shoals.
I've got nothing there.
Okay. Neither did the Fort Myers guys. Okay. We're looking at Burnt Store Two Pines.
The only thing I've got down there is actually some sheep's head along the mangroves. It's been pretty quiet down there overall, but the guys were catching some sheep's head, working some of those. I know down there towards Two Pines, you get into some of those mangroves. They've got some deeper buckets underneath them, and that's where they were catching some of the sheep's head. I think it's just been a little too chilly this week for those snook over there on that side to cooperate. Well, that east side gets blocked by the wind, but still stays shady a lot of the times for a little bit longer. So,
all right. What's going to put us on the east side?
On the east side, basically some better reports in Pirate Harbor. A few trout being caught inside there, but a few more black drum, mangrove snapper picked up inside there just a little bit better. A couple of scattered ladyfish. Some guys fishing at night off their docks down, and they've been catching some bigger snook just sitting with a mullet or a ladyfish sitting on the bottom and catching a few bigger snook. And then as you move up the east side a little bit more, there's been scattered redfish and snook up in some of those deeper little creeks and some of those deeper troughs that are in those creeks. But I haven't heard of much out front at all, not even on trout. Little strange. I don't know if you heard anything on the trout over there, but I didn't get much at all the last couple of days.
I haven't really heard much. I've been literally just kind of incommunicado. I've been here, but I've just been sleepwalking my way through the last couple of days. Got to talk to some really cool people in the last few days, though. You know, you're kind of sleepwalking, people just ask you a question, you just go and you answer the whole thing and explain to them, you know, what's going on. And it's been really interesting with some of the people, the guy wanting to use lures, I was teaching him how to tune a lure, how to adjust stuff to make it work for him, and he's just looking at me like, you know, he's my age or older, fishing all his life, and he'd never heard of that kind of stuff.
Right.
And I said, well, there's actually a difference between somebody who's been in the fishing business with people asking you questions, and then you go on to tournament fish and charter and, you know, freshwater tournaments, saltwater tournaments. You do these things and you have to learn if you want to, you know, if you're going to be anything more than, okay, here's a dozen shrimp, you have to learn this stuff.
Yeah, that's what I was explaining to those guys this morning on the radios. You know, you gotta, you know, they were asking about the braid versus mono, and I brought up some different things that I always try to remember to ask the customers. It's just like when they're going fishing, my first question almost always is, are you fishing from a boat or are you fishing from shore? You know, because without that vital information, everything you babble after that is useless. If you tell the guy, oh yeah, they're catching them in Turtle Bay, and he goes, huh, how do I get there by car?
Yeah, how do I drive there?
Yeah,
where's the parking lot?
Yeah, so
but you know, it's really a lot of that stuff that makes the difference. You want to know, are you fishing from land or are you fishing from a boat? Are you fishing in open water or are you fishing up against some kind of structure, docks, mangroves, whatever? Everything has to come into play to do this. And you know, there's a lot of people who don't like to be asked all those questions, and they end up not liking us. I get some of those reviews on Facebook and or Google reviews, yeah, or whatever. And I say, you know, well, that's just the thing. This store is not for everybody.
Right.
We do a pretty good job 90-some percent of the time, but, you know, we're not for everybody. One thing I will tell you, that if you don't like the guy you're talking to, just say, okay, well, thanks, and then go over and find the other guy. He might be the perfect guy for you to talk to.
Right.
Because Mike is a completely different personality than Jeff, who's different than Austin, who's different than you, different than me. And not everybody wants to talk to me, because I can be a real jerk. As they say, there's only one butthead allowed in the store. That one's me. Because I own it, and you can't fire me, because that's why I work for myself, because no one else will hire me. But Alligator Creek, Poacher's Cut.
As you get up towards the cut going into Burnt Store, that's where I'm getting the best reports. Some Jack's, Burnt Store aisles.
Okay, yeah. I'm sitting here trying to figure out. Okay, way up the creek.
Way up the creek. Some Jack's, a few Snook. Been a few trout right there at that cut right there at the entrance right on the Alligator Creek side. And then there has been a few juvenile tarpon and black drum up there inside of Burnt Store aisles. Other than that, the creek itself been pretty quiet. You know, this trout situation's got a lot of people screwed up, because once again, like you talked about earlier, it's it's not the same February it was last year.
Yeah, and it's so hard for people to consider that, because, you know, we have so many amazing snowbirds. Now, for those of you, we love our snowbirds.
Mm-hmm.
Snowbirds are awesome people. It's just, they come here for the winter and then they go home, but they're great people. I mean, we have a few, and we've escorted them out of the store on occasion.
Sure. You know?
But that's any part of the population.
Sure.
You know, it doesn't matter if they're snowbird or locals or whatever. There's good and bad people everywhere. But when the snowbirds come down, it's harder for them because it looks the same, you know what I mean, as it did last year. And they get so excited about being able to go out and do what they did last year.
Yeah.
And it's just not going to work.
No.
And so many of the guys, like my dad, if I could have afforded it, I would have bought him a house in Pirate Harbor.
Yeah.
He could have lived his whole life, every day, just going out there and never going more than a quarter or half a mile away from it.
Right.
That's his favorite place in the world to go fish. And it's just, that's his thing. And you get guys that are like that. They want to fish this island on the east side, or this creek on the west side, or this spot. And that's where they love to fish. And they don't even need to have an area. They can just have a spot.
Yeah.
And some years that spot's awesome, and some years that spot sucks.
Definitely. Definitely. It is funny, because you do get stuck in that rut. And I've done it. I think we've all done it at some point or another. But, you know, I want to catch fish.
Well,
too,
Sean
sometimes.
And his wife are coming down from America. You know, Sean from American Fishing Wire is coming down with his wife. And speaking of a rut, how about my classic welcome to see Florida rut? I mean, I'm going to fish here, there. We're going to go, we're going to do some shelling. We're going to go here, then we're going to stop for lunch, and then we're going to come back and fish in this other spot. I mean, the hard part about it is, I will say I have an area where I'll stop and fish, another area where I'll stop and fish, and then, but the shelling and the lunch and all that kind of stuff and the routes through the islands and that is all pretty much predetermined.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, you've been on that run with me many, many times, and it, for me and you, it's cool, because it's an enjoyable run. It's
absolutely.
What, we're going 80, 90 miles in the course of a day, but for somebody who's never seen it before, that's a hard thing to remember, too, is when somebody's never seen it, how cool it is. And they've never done what we're going to do.
No. And sometimes it reinvigorates you, too, because of watching it through their virgin eyes. It sometimes gives you that little kick in the butt of, hey, when was the last time you actually stopped and appreciated that? You might not have on the last trip you did that with somebody, but for some reason, this person...
It was like having your sister on a boat, you know, with your mom and your sister on a boat, and that was just fun, because your mom has seen it before, but it was the first time for your sister, so your mom was able to do stuff with her, and, you know, she was kind of like, you know, the old hand on that, and I don't even think Christina had been with us before. So
it was her first time going down there and doing it.
We had two newbies on the boat, and unfortunately, your female companion... is a lot like you. Neither one of you will say anything. So you both sit there, okay. And I was saying, I wonder if Robert enjoyed that. Yes, I did. That was really exciting.
Yep. Get her alone. She won't stop talking.
Yeah, but that's for you.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, Ponce de Leon Park. Ponce de Leon Park.
It's a 50-50 chance she won't hear that.
50-50?
She listens to these pretty regularly.
She's going to beat you.
Probably. Oh, Ponce de Leon. Honestly, all I've got is a couple small mangrove snapper and a few sheep's head. Hasn't been super productive this week. I don't know if you've heard any better, but not me.
Well, hopefully you get better this week. Yeah. The weather's changing considerably. And that's the weird part. The weather is going to get ridiculously different. It's going to be 80 degrees every day. It's only going down to 60 at night. All of the shallow water, any of the shallows, are going to literally raise up 10 degrees over next week. The fishing, next week, today, we are going to have completely different fishing reports. And I wish people would have taken my advice and come in August and September, you know, back in October when we were trying to tell people to come down. It was cheap. There was no one here. The fishing was good. And now the fishing's going to be good. It ain't cheap, and there's a lot of people here.
Yes.
It ain't cheap.
No, the pressure is going to be unbelievable this next week.
I'm telling you, boys and girls, next time we're trying to tell you, come down, you can get a hotel for half, a quarter the price, because they're going for $200 a night right now.
I know. It's terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, somebody said to me, well, you raise your price up for season. I said, I'm going to go around with a magic marker, and we have somewhere close to 15,000 different items in the store, and I'm going to pay somebody to go around and raise the prices up for season.
Yeah.
Are you out of your mind?
Right.
We put the price on with a magic marker, boys and girls, so Robert can see it, because he can't read the price tags. So, literally, everything's done by hand with a magic marker.
Right.
You really think we're going to change the prices from one month to the next, then drop them down again in the summer?
Right.
What kind of mental midget has a picture like that?
Well, I want to know where they... I mean, do they hide in a box all the time? You know, why would you think that? And if anything, prices change really once a year, and it's usually on the first of the year, you know, with any business in the world. You know, it's a new year, taxes change, all that stuff, so there's always subtle adjustments, but to think that you would raise the price because it's season,
just stupid. It's just really urban legend and myth that something like that's going to go on.
Right.
I mean, how ridiculous. I know in some areas, if you have a smaller store, like say you have a pizza place,
right,
and you've got 25 items, well, you can have two menus printed, one for in season, one for out of season.
Sure.
And simple as it is, you just hand out these for 6 months of the year and hand out these for the other 6 months. But in a retail setting with 15,000 different items, and that's not including multiples of each item.
Right.
We have 3 to 6 of each of those, let's say, 13,000 items. Yeah, that's going to work. Okay. PGI canals.
That's been not too bad, actually. There's been some bigger snook being caught up in there, all in the afternoons and evenings. And then the mangrove snappers started to pick up a little bit more. Still quite a few small ones, but a couple bigger ones in that 12 to 13-inch range. And then the black drum have been cruising around quite a bit. A few guys have been catching those. Most of those are 10 to 40 pounds, but a lot of guys are seeing those really big fish just slowly lollygagging along. And then there's also been quite a few jacks in there. And the jacks, the guys are catching them mostly trolling, coming in and out of the canals. But a few guys have been catching them right off their docks and having a good time with that. One guy was trying to find a rod the other day, and he was just couldn't make up his mind between a tarpon rod and his redfish rod that he already had because he was tired of getting beat up by the jacks. I'm like, well, you don't catch a lot of those 15 to 20 pounders, but even if you've got a tarpon rod, it's still 15 to 20 pound jack would give you a run for your money.
You got anything for gilcrest pier?
Nada.
Okay. I'm just kind of moving on down the way while you're explaining that because I always got to get there and copy in the date and the names and stuff like that. All right, Alligator Creek Reef.
A few more sheep's head started to move on to it the last couple of days. Not a great deal of them, but enough worth mentioning, so I'm thinking that there's going to be a few more fish moving on to it over the next several days, because if they pushed up here like that, potential's good.
All right, anything else?
Nada.
Okay. All right, deep holes in the harbor?
Ghost town.
Or no reports?
No
or?
Reports.
Okay. And bait reports?
Nothing except for a few ladyfish here and there, but no specific spots.
Okay. Freshwater.
Okay, good. Bass. A lot of bass fishing, guys. Shiners. Doesn't matter if it's Northport, Inglewood, Port Charlotte Canals, Gulf Cove. It's all bass shiners.
All the way down past Estero.
Yeah.
I mean, the reports are coming in from Fort Myers store. You know, and it's just literally bass fishing's going crazy right now. Morris Campbell's taking people out, and almost every trip he's breaking 10 pounds. A single bass over 10 pounds.
Right.
He's got him up to 13.6, which Heather got, but 10, 11, 12 pounds has been no big deal for Morris this year. A lot of big fish. And this is going on statewide right now. It's all over the place. Because Morris is fishing here. He's fishing on the other coast. I mean, there's just bass fishing everywhere.
Yeah.
Going crazy. And the bluegills. What's going on with the bluegills?
The bluegills have been pretty impressive. The guys that are crappie fishing aren't doing as great on the crappie, but they're catching bluegill as bycatch instead. You know, and that's mostly in the Port Charlotte, Northport canals that I've been hearing about, but there was a couple guys that got some over there in Rotunda also. And they're hand-sized fish to a little bit better than that, but it's just kind of funny that they're eating the minnows. A couple guys are catching them on the little hair jigs and beetle spins also. And of course, worms are always going to work, but it's just surprising when you hear crappie fishermen talking about their bluegill that they're catching instead. And it's been quite some time, like we talked about, since we've heard bluegill.
And we talked about it on KDW show, and it's possibly because of the Mayan cichlids, the tilapia, all these non-native exotic fish. They're all having babies, and they're just right in front of the bluegill's mouth, just clouds and clouds of minnows, because they're just going crazy, you know, reproducing. And like you said, I think the fish are going after the minnows instead of the grubs and the worms and all the other stuff, the insect stuff that they would normally eat.
Right.
The bluegills are actually starting to key in more on these minnows, and it's taken a few years for them to do it, but I think that's the most likely reason it's getting so much better. Any tarpon reports? Miami.
Yeah, Miami's it.
Yeah.
Nothing yet. It's still a couple months out for that, I think. It might warm up this week where we might hear some better reports on the juveniles, but overall I'm going to say no.
It's a worm bite over there.
Yeah. Yeah. Rick had a good time over there catching some nice fish. I think he's been over there two more times since we talked.
Yeah, that's really going crazy over there. I guess that's about it. Any wrap-up thoughts? Final thoughts?
I'd say enjoy this beautiful weather this week, because it's been, 3 weeks or better since we've had really nice, calm
weather. Oh, I was getting so depressed. It was like living in
Seattle.
Yeah, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, where you just have these dreary, overcast, misty / rainy, cold days where you don't see the sun for days.
Right.
I'm not used to that, man. I need the sunshine.
That's why we moved to the Sunshine State.
Yeah.
It's called that for a reason. So it's like And the weird part is you don't notice it right off the bat, but after about 4 to 6 days of just weird, gloomy weather, everybody, including the people from up north that are kind of used to it, all start to come down just a little bit and a little bit. They're not necessarily cranky, but they're just kind of, that mood just kind of gets a little more.
Just get a little moodier, a little more subdued.
Yeah.
It's really
not
weird.
As happy-go-lucky or a smiley face. It's now just kind of a straight face, yeah. Or even a frown. And
I mean, I walked in this morning, and there was like 3 groups of guys leaving, you know, got in their bait, and they were kind of talking amongst themselves. There was 3 different vehicles, one guy with a boat and all that. But everyone was smiling and laughing and just having a great time. The sun is shining, and it's literally amazing how humans react to sunshine.
It is.
And we don't make money without sunshine.
No.
If it's too cold, too hot, too windy, too rainy, too anything, the store slows down.
Right.
And right now, with it being so perfect outside, yes, we're making money. Yes, Fish and Franks. What does that guy say on TV? Fish and Franks gets paid.
Yeah, there you go.
It's fun. I mean, and sunshine and money actually put me in a better mood.
Yes.
So anyway, I'm very likely to get a paycheck this week. I'm going to be very happy about that.
That'd be a good thing.
We got Reaper Rods coming up Wednesday with the seminar, and Tim Johnson's going to be speaking, the owner of Reaper Rods, Austin number 2 at Reaper. And I don't know if they're bringing the other guy or not, but Robert and I will be there. We're going to be talking about redfish, black drum, different fishing techniques, and of course, what type of rod you would want for using this type of lure, what action you would want, you know. So we're going to kind of blend the Reaper into the talk by explaining you not so much that Reaper, but that type of a rod, a softer rod, a tighter rod, a heavier rod, a, you know, lighter one, why you would pick different rods for different things. So it's all going to be kind of a informative, kind of pretty cool seminar.
Oh, absolutely.
So, if the last two are any kind of indication, I think it's going to be good. So we'll see how that goes. In the meantime, let's see here. If I move that over and I hit that button, the guitar music starts. And kind of officializing ends the show. Correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it does.
As long as I've got it correct. Well, anyway, we will catch you next week. We are going to try desperately to start a beginning of the week show. It's just hard getting time for everybody. But we've got a couple more people we've hired, and they seem to be working out pretty good. So we're going to see if we can get time to do a third show a week. So, anyway, boys and girls, Fish and Frank here, Robert in the chair across me. Say goodbye, Henny Youngman.
Goodbye, Henny Youngman.
Oh, God. Okay. All right. Oh.
Set yourself up for that one.
Yeah, I know. Bye.